Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Can't say you guys are stuck with me tonight because Barbara got on to me last week, so I'm going to have to say that we're going to preach and whatever happens, happen. But no, Jonathan is off seeing John Boy. They have a good time, and we're going to do the best we can here. But tonight I want to talk about the power of one. And actually this is something I spoke probably about 4 years ago, maybe even longer. This is out of 1 Samuel chapter 17. This story here is telling about the battle between David and Goliath. And, you know, I think I could bring up pretty much anybody up here and you could tell me this story from beginning to end. So we're not going to read the scripture telling this battle, but, you know, we're going to cover points of it, because what I want to talk about tonight, what I want to show you, is what God can do with one individual that is sold out and that is willing and faithful to do God's will. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, me having a military background, the scripture is going to be 1 Samuel 17, 31 through 37, if you want to go ahead and look that up. Sorry, I didn't give everything. But having a military background, the first thing that jumped out to me with the scripture is the battle, or yet the lack thereof, but between these two nations. Because when, you know, we think about battles being fought, what do we think about there, Brother Ron? We think about soldiers, you know, battalions coming together and clashing. And yet here we have two individuals that are fighting on behalf of their nations. David was fighting on the behalf of the nation of Israel, and then Goliath, obviously, was the Philistines. Now, this probably definitely saved a lot of lives, and this would probably be a good practice. You know, if we'd have done that all throughout history, a lot of people would have been saved, would they not? A lot of lives were impacted throughout. But now, what I want to look at here is how defeated Goliath. Now, it was not with a sword or spear or any kind of weapon that we would think of as a weapon of war. It was actually done by what we consider to be a toy. It was a slingshot. You know, and this was something that David used on a regular basis out in the field while he was tending the sheep. But now David was full of faith, and he had no doubt that God had sent him to defeat this giant on behalf of the nation of Israel. All God, it wasn't David, right? And David knew this. Well, let's stand up and let's go ahead and read our scripture and get into it tonight. This is 1 Samuel 17. Verses 31 through 37. Now when the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight him. For you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war since his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if it rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lion and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defiled the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Let's pray. Father, we just pray that we would just be bold as David was, and just have the faith to know that no matter what we what giant, that you are going to actually prevail, that you will win on behalf of us, and probably in spite of us, Father. If we just know that if you're in it and we're in the center of your will, that we cannot fail, Lord. And we just pray that you would just continue to grow us, to where that we can have that faith to move mountains in our lives, Father, and to be a blessing to those around us. Maybe we can fight that giant that might save others, that can let them go on and do mighty things, Lord. And we just pray that we could just always keep our eyes upon Jesus. And for these things we ask in His name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, David was on fire at this point. I mean, David definitely was sold out. He was willing to do anything and everything for God, for the nation. Now, at this time, Saul had dressed him up in his armor and was wanting to send David out, you know, in his battle dress. And David said, "No, I can't use this. You know, it's too big, it's too bulky, I'm not used to it, I'm not comfortable." So he basically had to shed it off and then go in with basically his slingshot. And, you know, if you read verse 40 there, it says that then he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. So David went into battle with nothing but this sling and some stones, and he didn't have any, you know, armor, no shield, no nothing. And I think that was, you know, one thing that God wanted him to do, because that showed God's power in itself, did it not? Because there wasn't no physical equipment that was going to aid in David defeating this giant or protecting him, that God was protecting him. But what I want you to think about right now is this. How many stones did it take to kill Goliath? One. How many stones did David pick up out of the stream? Five. God doesn't miss. So why did David pick up five when all he needed was one? Have you ever thought about that? So that right there is something to me that I really want us to concentrate on tonight, is if David was so sold out and he was so full of faith, and he knew that God couldn't be defeated and God wasn't going to let him fail, why did he pick up five when all he needed was one? So if we really think about it, the Bible does not tell us why. And I've asked, I've studied, and I get a lot of different opinions, and you'll get a lot of different references. Nobody really knows. So this is my opinion, okay, based on what I think tells me. Now, think of it this way. When we're going out into situations like this, you know, David was going off into battle. He's still human, is he not? There's still the human element about him, because he is human. He's not God. He's not anything else. He's a human. So even though he's sold out, even though he knows that God won't let him fail, there's still this fear factor, is it not? And so, you know, I think, you know, with going into battle to face this giant, his heart is probably pounding 90 miles an hour, you know, adrenaline's probably pumping, you know, and a million things are going through his mind. I think that God allowed him to pick up the five stones, even though he didn't allow him to wear the armor, because that was something that would comfort David and maybe calm him down a little bit to where he wouldn't get in the way. It was something that David did every time he went out to you know, tend the sheep. He kept five stones in his pocket in case the bears and the lions, you know, attack. So maybe this was his ritual, and so maybe God just allowed him to go ahead and go through it because it calmed him down, it calmed his fears. Does that sound logical? It does to me. So, you know, when, you know, God gives us a task, and no matter how big or small, He will equip us to be successful, that is true. But when we go through it, if there's a little thing that He can give us to calm us down and to focus us, then I believe that's what He will allow us to do, because God's, He knows. He knows us, and He knows each individual. So, you know, I believe that God is bigger than trying to say, "No, David, just take one, because that's all you're going to need." If that's what calmed him down, then that's what he let him have. Now, think about this. How many people's lives were affected that day? You know, a boy went into battle. So how many lives were saved because they didn't have 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 going into battle each other? how many men's lives were spared that day? How many of those men might have gone on to greater things that we don't even know about? Maybe the Philistines, how many of them went on to maybe that they had a chance to accept Jesus, or, you know, to turn to God, and maybe we're, we don't know. These are things we don't know, but they at least had a chance. So that's something that we need to think about. So there's, you know, I've said this analogy before about ripples. You know, we can throw a rock in the pond and we can reach in and we can pull that rock out like it was never there, but the ripples have to play out. So in this instance, there was ripples that had to play out, and we don't know what the effects of those ripples are down the road. But now, I will say this. I heard a story, and this was a while back, and it went something like this. It says, a small boy was walking down the beach, and he came across a bunch of starfish washed up on the beach. So he starts throwing these starfish back in the water one at a time, and there's millions of them. Now, a man walked by and said sarcastically, you will never throw all of them back. You might as well stop now. The boy picked up one more, looked at the man, and said, maybe not, but I will make a difference in this one's life. And he threw it back in the water. So that is kind of mentality that we have as God's people. We have to realize that there is a lot of power in one person. If that person is sold out, if that person is focused on God's will, there's a lot that God can do through us, is it not? So we have to remember this. Now, David was called to do some extraordinary things. And there were some massive ripples that went out because of David's life. He was a man after God's own heart, obviously. But, you know, we have to remember that if we do our little part, you know, maybe in talking, spreading the gospel to somebody, maybe the next Billy Graham will be, you know, will arise up by us leading somebody to the Lord. You know, somebody had to lead him to the Lord. You know, do we even know who that person is? Yeah, I've heard stories, but I couldn't tell you the guy's name. But that's a pretty major ripple, is it not? So there's power in the one. And how I got this is the Army back several years ago had an advertising slogan called An Army of One. And I never really liked that slogan because, you know, military guys, as much as I know, we believe in what? Teamwork. The teamwork makes the dream work when it comes to the military. We all have to do our part, our small part. We're little pieces in an engine, and together we can do big and mighty things. And, you know, the more I got to thinking about that, I thought, well, maybe I'm wrong, because we are the body of Christ, are we not? And he does call us not to all be eyeballs or feet or toes, or, you know, we're called to be different pieces of the body, and it takes each and every one of us doing our little part to really make the engine work and go, does it not? So really there is power in one. There is an army of one that we really need to concentrate on, and to be the church that we need to be, you know, maybe we need to concentrate on just our little area and go from there. You know, I got to thinking about it. You know, there are several Medal of Honor winners. You know, these were single individuals that did extraordinary things, saved a lot of people's lives, and they were honored for it, you know. And so we need to think about that, you know, we need to be maybe these extraordinary individuals and go from there. If you look through all throughout the Bible, you know, we think about the Peters and the Pauls and the Esthers and the Ruths and the Abrahams, and we can go on and on and on. These were ones that did extraordinary things. And we can too if we will allow God to use us. I got to thinking about Colossians 3:23. It says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So we are we're to be mighty in everything that we do. David fought for the nation, but this didn't really require sacrifice. Now, yes, he could have died, but obviously we know that God was with him and God wasn't going to let him fail. But it got to thinking me about another man that went into battle by himself and did even way more than David did, and that was Jesus Christ. You know, if you think about it, God allowed him to go in and fight for us and fight for our salvation. And, you know, we really need to look at it like that. that, you know, if it hadn't have been for him taking on hell and death and winning and conquering them, then there would be no hope. You know, we could sit here and talk about David all day long, but there really wouldn't be nothing past that, would there? You know, yes, this would have been an amazing for David, but it really wouldn't have been anything amazing for us. But with Jesus Christ and what he accomplished by himself, because even God turned his back on him, did he not? He had to, because God couldn't be where sin is. So he put the sin of the world on him, and that sin came in through Adam and Eve by disobeying God's word and taking of the fruit in the garden. And we know what sin did coming into the world. We don't need to really go through that. But we do need to realize that our war is not against what he says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of the darkness, the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. You know, God sent the ultimate soldier, the only one that could have fought that battle for us, you know, and Jesus, he conquered hell and death, and he rose, and we have victory because of that. You know, David fought for one nation, but Jesus fought for all of us that would accept him as Lord and Savior, did he not? And praise God for that. What would we have if it hadn't have been for him? But he was there to seek the will of the Father, and we do need to realize this, though. You know, God gave David that little comfort in those getting those stones, so maybe that comforted him down, calmed him down a little bit. What about Jesus? Was he scared? Yeah, he was. He what did he do? He prayed in the garden. You know, what it's Father, if you are willing, take this cup from my hand, but yet not my will, but yours be done. You know, Jesus begged him. He was saying, listen. This is getting real, you know. This is getting to the point where I understand what we're up against. You know, God, I'm going to do this, but if there's any other way, now's the time. Let's think about this. But there wasn't, was there? He had to go forth on that cross. He had to take on the sins of the world. And I believe on that cross, he conquered hell and death. And I hope Jonathan preaches that sermon soon about Sheol, about the bosom of Abraham. Because that is really deep, and it gets into that aspect of it. But the human side of Jesus had to be comforted too. And God allowed him to do that through prayer. You know, he didn't really get the answer he wanted, and it talked about him agonizing to the point where he was sweating drops of blood, but he still went through with it. He still had that endurance to see the race to the finish, did he not? And praise God for that. So think about this. He knew that this had to be done since the beginning of time, and he knew that it had to happen this way and that it had to be done. It might have been his plan, but why bother to pray to change it? The human side was scared and needed comfort, but he completed the task. So basically, God wants obedience, does he not? David was scared, but yet he went through with it. He was obedient. So Jesus was scared, but yet he went through with it. He was obedient. If we think about Jonah, what happened to Jonah? God had to really get him. We know about Jonah and the whale in 3 days, but yet he ended up going to Nineveh and doing what God wanted him to do alone. Why fight God's will? You know, it might seem like it's, you know, the cross is an unbearable task, and it is. And that giant might seem like, yeah, he's 8 foot tall and invincible, but with God, anything is possible. And if we'll just let God be God and get out of the way, there's really nothing to be afraid of, is there not? And guys, I'm afraid that we're about to really find out. We're about to really have to start paying for our faith. You're about to have to start paying to be a Christian. We have been spoiled. It has been something that we have taken for granted. We come to this church building all the time, and it doesn't cost us anything. But a few years from now, maybe next November from now, we don't know. But things are going to change because the Bible says they will. And it's not going to go in our favor. And if we don't know where our strength and our power comes from, we're in trouble. So that's called growth in Him. David picked up 5 stones to comfort him. Jesus prayed. His comfort was in the Father, and his strength was in the Father. And I just ask you this, what battle are you called to fight tonight? Let's close in prayer. Father God, we just thank you and praise you that you have given us Jesus Christ, that he was bold enough to come and pay that price that we couldn't pay for ourselves. Father, he was the Lamb that was worthy, and that we know that he will be at the right hand of you until it's time for him to come and call us home, Lord. And I just pray that we will all be ready and be able to answer that call. Lord, I just pray that until then that we would just be bold enough to just be in the center of your will and carry out the things that you want us to do, Lord, because there's so many people that are depending on us. Lord, you want to use us. You want to use us to accomplish your will and to reach these people, Lord. And we just pray that we would be attentive enough to see the needs around us, Lord. We already know that you're going to have us prepared. And if we're scared, if that time comes and we need a little comforting, Father, we know that you will allow us to have it, Lord, but you want obedient servants, and you want us to have the endurance to see it through to the end, Lord. And I just pray that we would answer that call, and we would do what Jesus Christ did, Father, and that would be that your will be done. And for these things we ask in his name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you, you feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today if you do that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.